The job of the blender is to combine these elements in such a way as to produce an overall flavour.
A wider repertoire of different beverages than ever before.
I think one of the most interesting breweries, and certainly one of the most interesting origin stories for a brewery in Australia.
Single malts, blends, grain whiskies, bourbons and more.
If you want mezcal to be sold around the world, then unfortunately you're going to have to make a compromise.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson. And this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. Opened in 2013 by Northern Irishman Sean Muldoon and Jack McGarry, New York City's The Dead Rabbit is surely one of the world's most awarded bars. I can't possibly list all the accolades they've picked up over the years, but they include multiple prizes for World's Best Bar, at both the prestigious Spirited Awards and the world's 50 best bars. The Dead Rabbit is world famous for its Irish coffee, and this episode you'll hear Sean recount the messy incident that put them on the path to perfecting this somewhat neglected cocktail, with further inspiration from the legendary bartender Dale DeGroff. Also with us this episode is the Dead Rabbit beverage director, Gillian Vos, who explains how the sous vide cooking technique enables the team to serve the Irish coffee perfectly and consistently, every time. And if, like me, you're based in Sydney, here's a tip. You can try an Irish coffee that's very similar to the Dead Rabbit's at a bar in the city. Gillian visited the Duke of Clarence a few years ago to show them how it's done, and they've since kept up the tradition. Sean, Jack and Gillian have now published the definitive story of the Irish coffee in a new book titled When Whiskey Met Its Match, which sets the record straight once and for all that the cocktail was invented by a Northern Irishman, Joe Sheridan. I hope you enjoy this chat about one of my favourite cocktails. We also talk a bit about Irish whiskey and the second Dead Rabbit book launching on February 22 called Paddy Drinks. It's a collection of cocktail recipes that Sean hopes will help fuel Irish whiskey's ascendancy in cocktail bars across the world. Sean and Gillian, thanks so much for joining us on the Drinks Adventures podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I was really excited to learn about the new book. Now, you guys have published a few books before. Tell me about the latest edition, When Whiskey Met Its Match.
We actually have two books coming out. One is the book you're talking about, and one is another drink book called Paddy Drinks, which is about Irish whiskey cocktails. It's coming out in like 4 weeks. So we wanted to do both of these together. One is the story of the Irish coffee. It's a special drink in our bar. We take the drink very seriously. And also because it was created by a fellow Northern Irishman, a guy from Castledurg in County Tyrone, Joe Sheridan. So we wanted to tell his story because when we read anything, when St. Patrick's Day comes out or when National Irish Coffee Day comes out, there's always press about the Irish coffee. You see it in every magazine up and down the country. But I know when the story is going to start and where it's going to end because it's always the same story. And I knew there had to be more to it than that. So I wanted to get to the real nitty gritty of who he was and the story of the Irish coffee because it hasn't been told before and it is a really interesting story. So there was two reasons. It was one is because it's our drink and it's a drink that we're known for and we take seriously. And the other is because it was a fellow Northern Irishman that created the drink. We've been wanting to do this book for 3 years and it's only now that we've literally got around to doing it. But it has been, it's been in the pipeline for 3 years. We've been thinking about it and working on it for three solid years. And it's a self-funded project. Everything, I designed it myself, for example, the whole layout. We raised the money ourselves. And we plotted it and planned it and put it together ourselves. So it's a labor of love.
Maybe you could go back and just tell me, what are the origins of the Irish coffee?
Well, Joe Sheridan came from, as I say, Northern Ireland back in early 1900s. He moves to Dublin after his father died in 1926, I believe he dies. They go down there, the whole family settles down in Dublin. But even as a kid, his father was a farmer, a cattle farmer. So they used to go to the periphery of Dublin and to the cattle markets with his father. And he can remember, like, he's been recorded as telling his roommate and stuff that the farmers were drinking coffee laced with whiskey when he was a kid. That's where it sort of starts. But then he goes to work in Dublin. And when he's down there, he works in a place called the Dolphin Hotel. And it's true that they did have a stock of whiskey and they wanted to get rid of it. So they were doing anything in the world they could to get rid of it. And they put it in coffee and everything like this. But it wasn't the Irish coffee. It was literally coffee with whiskey. Joe Sheridan, he did come across that drink in that bar, but it wasn't that the bar specialized in it. They didn't have any menu or anything like that. It was just like an afterthought. He didn't get the Irish coffee recipe from her. He just came across coffee and whiskey. So he goes across to Shannon then and he makes it a special drink. He adds sugar, he puts it in a stem glass and he adds cream. The real story of the Irish coffee is it definitely was an invention of Shannon Airport. But as I say, in Ireland, there's this whole debate at the minute. Did he take the idea from Dublin? I don't believe for one second that he took the idea from Dublin. I just believe there was a drink in Dublin that in a bar that he worked in that did do whiskey and coffee.
What year are we talking that the first Irish coffee was made in Shannon?
1940s, Gillian, is that what we're talking about? 1946?
Yeah, I'd say like mid-40s.
And then it becomes famous when the travel writer, Stanton Delaplane, he was a writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. I believe him and a bunch of people were actually over in visiting the Pope, of all things, the Pope at the time. It was a delegation and all these travel writers were over meeting the Pope in Rome. And on the way back, they stopped at Shannon Airport. This is an airport where people, planes had to refuel back in those days and they would have refueled in Shannon. It was the last port of call before America. So they were all sitting in the airport, plane was refueling and they came across this drink. And it was like Joe Sheridan already left the bar many, many years before. But Stanton Delaplane seen the drink and he goes to Buena Vista in San Francisco, which is where he hung out. It was his favorite watering hole. As I say, he was based in San Francisco. And he tells the owners of the place then about this drink that he came across in Shannon Airport. And he says that they should have it in the menu. And a couple of years later, I believe it was 1952, they first put it in their menu and it becomes a big success.
The Buena Vista Cafe in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. But it wasn't the first place to serve Irish coffee in America. There were other bars that served it before Buena Vista, but it was the place definitely that made it famous. Definitely.
And they still serve it there to this day. It's kind of a pretty sort of iconic thing to do, isn't it, to go to the cafe and have one of those Irish coffees.
That's all they really serve there. All the other bottles are like totally clean because they only are pouring the Tullamore Dew and the coffee. So it's pretty amazing to watch.
2,000 a day is what they purportedly sell every day, pre-COVID. Definitely not at the minute, but pre-COVID, 2,000 a day.
The Dead Rabbit didn't even have an Irish coffee on its menu when it first opened in 2013. That came a bit later on.
There was a girl in the bar one day and I remember it very, very clearly. She was knocking out cocktails and she was asked for 9 Irish coffees. Like a group of tourists came in, they wanted 9 Irish coffees. And it really, I happened to be walking into the bar at the time. She said, Sean, can you do me a favour? Can you make me 9 Irish coffees? It was me, she said it to me. And I'm not joking, that 9 Irish coffees, me making them in the bar at that time was like open heart surgery.
Picture the whole thing.
It was probably loaded all over the walls. I don't know what. It was just a mess. Probably took a guy's 25 minutes to get them. And I said to Jack afterwards, we can't ever be in this situation again. I said, we need to prepare that if 200 people walk through those doors, that we're ready to serve 200 people Irish coffees. I said, we've just got to come up with a way of doing it. It can't ever happen again.
So I worked in quite a few bars over the course of my career. And it was anytime that we ever put a hot drink on the menu, it was a complete disaster. Like Sean was saying, it's, you need something to heat it. It gets cold very fast. It is kind of a nightmare. Or for the sake of coffee, most people don't have coffee ready to go that's piping hot. So I thought it was really brilliant of Jack to think about the sous vide. We put them in these like very safe food service grade plastic bottles that can withstand the heat of the sous vide. And we keep it at 80 degrees Celsius, 176 Fahrenheit. And that is a hot water bath in which you can, you know, it's mostly Irish coffee. And then we might have, say, our Irish whiskey, hot punch, like a toddy. We have a hot chocolate and a seasonal drink sometimes. But it's just very consistent because we'll do everything in batches. And we go through it so fast, no matter what, we're using everything up in a matter of a few days. So the sous vide is, I think, the best way. It doesn't burn the coffee. and it keeps it piping hot. And we do the Demerara sugar syrup. We pre-mix that into the coffee because a big mistake some people make, especially with the sugar cube on the bottom or syrup, is that it sits at the bottom there or it doesn't properly dissolve. So this is just a very consistent every sip. And then we do another very clever thing that Sean's wife, Anne, came up with was using a protein shaker to whip the cream. So we pre-whip everything and we'll have backups for each bar station and you can fill them up as you need throughout the night. But it stays pretty consistent throughout the night until you need it. And just top it up and then just wipe the lip and then put it back in the fridge until you need it again. So those are two very clever ways to do Irish coffees efficiently.
And you guys use Tullamore Dew as well, is that right?
We use Bushmills Original blended Irish whiskey. We've gone through many iterations of the drink over time. And Bushmills Original has been the most successful. I think that's the longest standing recipe we've had and intend to keep. It's just something that's light, dried fruit, doesn't get lost in the coffee mix, but it's not necessarily like powering through the coffee either. So we do recommend like a pot still, for instance, is like a little too abrasive. It doesn't make as good of one as a blend.
And other than that, you know, when you kind of conceived the cocktail, was it? What are the other kind of differences in the way that it's crafted versus the other Irish coffees that people might have tried previously?
Year 2000, I believe, I was in London at the Islington Bar Show and Dale de Groff was doing a presentation and he did a presentation on the Irish coffee. And the question he asked the audience was, how many of you people have had an Irish coffee? And everybody put up their hand. And he said, the second part of the question is, how many of you people have had an Irish coffee that you actually liked? And nobody put up their hands, including me. And then he told you why that was. And he said that it was an afterthought. People didn't take it seriously. It needed to be treated like a cocktail. Everything was about balance. It was about proportions. And he talked about people using aerosol whippy can type stuff for cream. He talked about coffee being stewed in a served in a hot plate where it had the ash burnt off it all day long. He talked about the sugar not being right. He talked about the whiskey being too strong. And then he talked about oversized glasses where all you could taste was coffee and he talked about the importance of a 6-ounce stem glass. And he also said about the coffee should be 2 parts to 1 part whiskey. Things like that you would never have thought before. A lot of Irish coffees are served in latte glasses, especially in Ireland. And a latte glass, you know how much coffee is going into it. It's like at least 5 parts coffee to 1 part whiskey. As Gillian said, nobody likes making hot drinks. So when you're not enjoying making it in the first place, you're throwing it together, you're not caring, you're not paying attention. But Dale made the first Irish coffee that I'd ever actually liked, and it was incredible. So our Irish coffee is based on what he did. If you ever get Dale to go off to Australia and you ever want him to make a really, really good drink, don't get him to make a Cosmo or anything. Get him to make his Irish coffee because he's really, really well known for that one drink, the Irish coffee.
When the Dead Rabbit is in full flight in non-pandemic times, how many Irish coffees would you typically be serving a day there? Can you compete with the Buena Vista?
No, we can't compete with Buena Vista, the amount that we do, but we can definitely compete with them on quality. There's no, like an Irish coffee in the Buena Vista and Irish coffee in the Dead Rabbit, two different things. And listen, you might go there and you might see the guys doing what they do as Gillian's talking. They line them all up and it looks magical and it's very theatrical if you've never seen it before. But the actual Irish coffee that you get in the glass versus Irish coffee is two different things. And there's absolutely no way they can compete with us. And I don't care if this goes straight back to their door when I'm standing here. They'll never be able to compete with us on taste. Ours is definitely a better Irish coffee, but they're famous for it. And I'm not going to take away what they've done for the Irish coffee. They've made it famous, all that, and respect to them. Serving 2,000 a day to this day, I've nothing but respect. But their drink is nowhere near as good as ours. That's just the truth, you know.
Yeah, they don't have the systems in place to be able to do that. You know, it's just very old school. Line up, say 15 glasses, sugar cube, pot of coffee, and then cream, and you know, a big dose of Irish whiskey in there too. So it is. I agree with Sean.
And tell me about how you came over to Australia, Gillian, and introduced the Duke of Clarence to the Dead Rabbit's Irish Coffee, because I'm a regular there when it's the norm to go out. Right now, and people aren't going out much in Sydney for obvious reasons, but yeah, I always really enjoy an Irish coffee at the Duke of Clarence.
Well, that's very good to hear that they're keeping it up. It's been a few years since I was over there. I'd say, is it 3 summers ago?
I noticed the sous vide on the bar, now that you mention it as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they had like a home exactly for it when I was there, but I'm glad that they made space on the back bar. But yeah, Mikey Enright is a good friend of Jack and Sean, and he asked for us to come over to share. They had just opened, I believe, the Duke of Clarence. It's right behind the barbershop. And they wanted to kind of do Irish coffees, and they loved ours. And it was just great to partner up with Tullamore Dew. They ended up bringing me over. And we just had a few days of, you know, we did some podcasts and some interviews, and we just did their Sunday roast in Irish coffee together. And it was a lovely time. It was only 72 hours. I would never do that ever again. I think I was on an airplane longer than I was actually in Sydney, it felt like.
Now, the book's out pretty soon, guys. Where can people get hold of the book?
It is a self-published version. We're hoping that it does so well that a publisher will come along and want to do a reprint. But in the interim, it will be available online through our website and through, I believe, Amazon or one of these sorts of places. But there will be 4,000 copies in existence. But we're going to give a lot away. So we hope if we sell 2,000, we'll give 2,000 away. That's the way we're going to do it. Because all we want to do is get the truth about the Irish coffee out. That's all we're trying to do for us, you know?
And then the other book, Paddy Drinks, which is a guide to modern Irish whiskey cocktails. That one comes out on the 22nd of February of this year, 02/22/2022.
And these are classic cocktails or your own signature drinks, a combination of the two?
Mostly it's 90 drinks. I think 83 of them are original Dead Rabbit drinks. And then there are some classics in there. We've adapted them to be our house specs, but they are, you know, Tipperary, Emeralds, things like that. So, yeah, it's just it talks about obviously our story of you know, a bit of how we all kind of got started and how the name came, Paddy Drinks. And then it just by different styles of Irish whiskey, the drinks are broken down. And there's a good explanation on how to use each style of whiskey. So by the end of it, you know, you'll have a guide to the flavor profiles based on casks. And then you'll also hopefully be inspired to make your own drinks with the flavor profiles and styles of drinks that we've done over the years.
Sean, I remember when I met you when you were in Sydney, that was in 2014. I was actually at the barbershop. I sat down with you and Jack for an interview. You were talking at the time about how Irish whiskey hadn't had the respect that it deserved. Is that something that you think has changed in the last nearly 8 years since we caught up then?
Yeah, definitely. That story that you're talking about, I think Primates was one of these new modern bars that had a standing bar. And myself and Jack went over one Sunday afternoon to research the standing bar concept, because we were thinking about doing it in our downstairs bar for Dead Rabbit. But what happened is our eyes were diverted around the bar in this place. And we started to notice they had a very, very impressive arrangement of spirits, all kinds of different Armagnacs, cognacs, eau de vies, every whiskey under the sun. But there wasn't one bottle of Irish whiskey to be seen anywhere. We happened to say to the bartender, excuse me, we see all these fancy things everywhere, but we don't see any Irish whiskey. We're both Irish. Do you have any Irish whiskey? And he says, no, we don't. And I says, why is that? He says, no, our manager, a guy that we both know called Damon Bolte, he doesn't believe in Irish whiskey, doesn't want it, doesn't have it anywhere. And we were saying, is that right? I said, but this is a classic cocktail bar, yeah? Like classic cocktail bars, you're supposed to be able to serve every cocktail under the sun, like every classic cocktail under the sun. And he said, yeah, we're a classic cocktail bar. And I said, so how do you serve an Irish coffee? Because it's a classic cocktail. And he goes to me, oh, we just use bourbon. And that, me and Jack went over to look at standing bars, but walked out thinking, God almighty, this is the attitude people have of Irish whiskey over here. The only person in the whole of New York City, at the time you're talking about, that was like 1 year after we opened, that was doing anything with Irish whiskey was Gillian. And that's why she's actually in our bar. That's why she is who she is with us right now. It's because of what we're talking about. Gillian had a menu, a Death & Company menu. And it was broken down into categories like vodka drinks, tequila drinks, whatever it was. But there was a section called Patty Drinks. And that's the entire title of our book. That's why it's called Patty Drinks. Because Gillian, her mother's full-blown Irish. And so Gillian's half Irish. She had five Irish whiskey cocktails on Death & Company's menu. And it was under a section called Patty Drinks. And she was talking about every drink had a different Irish whiskey. And it was the only thing we've seen. Nobody else even had Irish whiskey in their bar. A couple of bars might have had Redbreast. But even Jameson, you couldn't even find it in a bar. That's a big part of the story of this book, is how we met Gillian and her doing this book called section called Patty Drinks. And that's why the book's called Patty Drinks. But yeah, so what you're talking about, it has changed a lot now. You would see Irish whiskey a lot in bars now. It's definitely changed. And it's probably because there's so much more Irish whiskey now than there was. There's people like Waterford, beautiful, beautiful malt whiskeys. They're not... The guy who took over that distillery, the guy who runs it, is the guy who used to run Brugladdock in Scotland. And he made a load of money. And then he's doing incredibly special stuff with Irish whiskey right now.
Tell me, what's the mood and what's the situation like over in New York at the moment? Are you able to trade as normal? And, you know, are people still going out like they were pre-pandemic? Or is it just a pretty different sort of environment?
Everything was going smoothly, as Gillian said, up until the week before Christmas. That's when it died. Parties started cancelling left, right and centre. Last year was a completely different case, where bodies were piled up in streets and there was refrigerated lorries and everything. That was a totally different scenario. Hospitals were overfilled. It wasn't that case at all this year. The only problem that was this year, everybody seemed to be getting it at once. I'm not talking about global. I don't know what the situation is global. I'm talking in New York, where I'm based. It was way, way, way less, more serious this time than it was last time. The only problem was that people weren't able to go to work. We had to close our bar for a weekend, and a lot of bars across the city had to close. There's bars still now closed because they can't get staff. So that's what the problem's been this time, is staff. It still is very quiet in New York City. No matter where you go, it's quiet. But there's no doubt that it'll bounce back. New York will definitely rebound. It's a tough city.
And Sean says the pandemic hasn't tempered his and Jack's ambitious goal of turning the Dead Rabbit into a chain of Irish pubs spread across North America.
We're entering now the new era for Dead Rabbit this coming year, actually. We're expanding. Our plan is to open at least three or four or more in the next 5 years.
I'm just remembering now, I think I heard you saying maybe it was on Whiskey Cast, you were going to open in New Orleans.
We do have a location in New Orleans. We have a building, and we've bought the building and we're sitting on the building, but it's in the French Quarter. And we believe the refurbishment was going to be $2 million or less. And it ends up after coronavirus, like because of the pandemic, it went up to $3 million. And that's a really expensive refurbishment for what it is, the size it is. And you compare it to, it's half the size of Dead Rabbit New York, yet it's costing the same amount. Dead Rabbit New York was two different buildings. And our investment for both buildings was probably 2.8. When you include absolutely everything, the stuff that came after the building work, I'm talking about like months down the line, months later, you were still paying money. It was about 2.8 million for that refurbishment, but it's 10,000 square feet and it's two buildings and it makes a lot of money. The place in New Orleans can't make near as much money because of the size of it. And it's New Orleans, it's not New York. It's never going to be as busy as New York. You just know it's not. So we're sitting in the building and we're going to see how it goes. But we do think we'd be as well opening in other places first that are more likely to hit the road running right away. So we're going to be opening in a different location. We haven't revealed it yet, but the work, it's full on, and we're most likely going to be opening in September. At this stage, we reckon New Orleans will probably be bar three. We're going to have two more before New Orleans. That's what I'm saying. So we've got one now. We're going to have two more before New Orleans. So it'll be bar four in the lineup, in the scale of things. But we've got the building, and we're just sitting waiting, and we're going to see if we can get that price knocked down a bit because it's just too expensive right now, and we're in no hurry. We'll just see what happens. The places that we're looking at right now are all in the south, the southern U.S. From as far across as Texas to Florida, that sort of that down that way, not north, not west, south. So that's just and we pick places that we think are fun cities where there's good drinking cultures, and hospitality seems to be a big thing because we do want like our Irishness. The thing that makes Dead Rabbit special for us now is the especially now. For years we wanted to be the best cocktail bar, but now it's all about hospitality. We want to be the best pub. That's what we want to be, the best pub, not the best cocktail bar, just the best pub. Best Irish pubs in America, that's what we're sort of going for. Because to be honest, a lot of the Irish pubs in America, there are some belters, but most of them are sports bars. They're not what we would call pubs back in Ireland. So we just want to bring a real sense of Irishness to the cities of America. We don't think it's been done on a large scale properly. But yet, as I say, if you're in New York, there's a couple of really great Irish bars, but they're standalone Irish bars. There's no pub chain that's doing great Irish bars, as far as I'm concerned, in America. So we want to be the people that are doing that and do it well.
Well, Sean and Gillian, thanks so much for joining us on the show. And I'll make sure I put a link in the show notes so that people can buy the book if they're interested.
We'll send you a couple of copies for sure. Make sure it's out there in Australia.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks, James. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at By James Atkinson, like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.